Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. We have a number of visitors with us. We're glad that you came to worship. I don't count the Hoffmans or Hugh and Takako as visitors. They're members that haven't been here for a while. Back in town for a while, worshiped here for many years. Got a couple of announcements. Carolyn wanted everybody to know that updated are some additional directory pages. Updates are on the counter in the middle room here. If you need to get those, pick those up. And the ladies' Bible class that meets Tuesday mornings here wanted to thank the song leaders of our congregation. Don't think I'm going to leave anybody out. Kurt, Daryl, Don, Frank, Michael, and Sam. They greatly appreciate the songs, the service that you do in leading our songs, and they've been having a study of the biblical principles in our hymns, and they've been good enough to lead those songs each Sunday, and the ladies' Bible class sends a big thank you to the song leaders.
Amen.
Growing up, my parents used to try to teach me to never be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it mostly worked. It didn't always take, but I tried. And there's a few places that we as Christians should never be. Okay? And I want us to look at some of these. The lesson is titled Front, Middle, or Back. There are some places that as Christians, we have no place being. One is the front, you know, those people that have to be in the front of the line. Jockeying for position, elbowing people out of the way to get in the front of the line. We've known people like that. Maybe we work with people like that. Maybe people in our family, friends of ours. Maybe we've even been like that. That always want to be first, not left out. It's a feeling of entitlement that I want to get mine. If they were passing out buckets of mud, they would want two of them. That type of attitude, that it's all about them. You know, it's not that the earth revolves around the sun, but everything revolves around them. That if it doesn't affect their world, it doesn't matter. And it's that me, me, me attitude. And as a Christian, we have no place striving to be that kind of a person. In fact, it's right the opposite. In Romans 12, verse 3, Paul wrote, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." If we as Christians did this verse more, man, would it put us on that road more often. And Paul here, he doesn't say, don't think good of yourselves. He keeps it in perspective. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. You know, there's nothing wrong with having confidence or taking pride in a talent or an ability. But that arrogant pride, that's where we get in trouble. Is that arrogance that so oftentimes causes a stumbling block for us or maybe somebody else. It might turn somebody else off of Christianity by the reflection we are giving by the way we conduct ourselves. In Luke 18, Jesus was giving an example, and he gave the story of the Pharisee and the publican in prayer. And he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. The Pharisee wanted to give the prayer and everybody see him. You know, he's doing it for the wrong reasons. And the publican, he couldn't get past, I am a poor sinner. God, please help me. He had the humility to bow down before God, not look at me for the fancy words that I'm giving. And Jesus used that as an example to teach others about humility. In Luke 9, Jesus said, and he said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great. Jesus was the original counterculture. We think the 1960s and the hippies and all that stuff was the counterculture. Jesus went against everything society said was important. Don't jockey for position in life. Humble yourself. He uses a number of comparisons to little children and their humility, their dependency upon you, the parent. That's what we should be with God. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, this was the scripture that Kurt read earlier. I find it interesting. I like to look at the who, what, when, where, why of a passage. I kind of like to dig a little deeper. And when I realize who's writing this, it really drives the point home. I look at the man Peter became, the man that wrote this years later from the Gospels. You know, who'd have thunk that man that denied Christ, the man that was always speaking out of turn, would grow to be this person. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, at the right time. It's God's timing. It may not be. We may not be exalted when we want to. How long did the Israelites cry, how long, Lord, when they were in captivity? Which captivity? But you know, how many times did they cry? How many times do we cry out to God, how long? How long do I have to endure this? At the right time. At the right time. In God's time, he will exalt you. He will make everything right at the right time. Another place we don't want to be as Christians is middle of the road. One of the most distasteful. And I'll tell you, there's very few people that respect middle of the roaders. You might get along, but a lot of people don't respect the people that are in the middle of the road, that don't take a stand. There's no true commitment with these people. They go whichever way the wind blows, whatever way the majority is going. And we've talked numerous times, the only time that God's people were in the majority was on the ark. When it set sail, That's the only, we're not, case closed, we're not going to ever be in the majority of society. And one of the worst things we can do is try to be that person that straddles both sides. I'm in the world, get along with these people, and be a Christian, because it doesn't work. We're never told to be middle-of-the-road people. In Revelation, in the letters to the seven churches in Asia, Jesus, through John, says in verse 15 and 16, he says, I know your works. In fact, he says that in to all the churches. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's strong words there. That is some strong language. To be vomited out of the mouth. Cold can be appropriate. Hot can be appropriate. But lukewarm is really not. When you're expecting something cold, lukewarm is not desired. When you're expecting something hot, lukewarm is not desired. And Jesus is saying, I wish you were one or the other. But you're neither. You're lukewarm. You're good for nothing. That's what Jesus is saying. You're good for nothing. You're middle of the road. In Luke 9:23, Jesus lays it out fairly clear. He says, Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's not a little bit of being a disciple. I've heard the old thing, you know, you're not a little bit pregnant. You know, are you a disciple? Kind of. That doesn't fly with Jesus. Doesn't fly with God. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I profess the name. I don't do what he says. Oh, I love Jesus. I'm not going to do the things he requires me to do, but oh, I love Jesus. Jesus says, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross daily. He said this before the crucifixion. I wonder what they were thinking. I would love for there to have been a little explanation about this. What are you meaning, take up your cross, Jesus? Crosses are for crucifixion. You want us to, they'd get it later. Sometimes we're taught things that we don't get until later on. Amen. It clicks. It clicked with them later. After he was crucified, I'm sure this probably sunk, the lesson sunk into them more than it did here. In Luke 18, Peter makes the proclamation, see, we have left all and followed you. That's a disciple. That is what it takes to follow Jesus, not half-heartedly, not just a little bit. In Acts 5, this same man, Peter and John, they had been instructed, beaten, and thrown in jail. Quit teaching about this Jesus guy. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they didn't want him to teach. Too many people are following these guys. Too many people are turning to Jesus because of their teaching. They warned him. They threatened him. They even put him in jail. And when they kept teaching, they they brought him to him and said, didn't we tell you not to do this? And Peter responds, he says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
No middle of the road here. We're not going to try to please everybody. It may upset you, but we're going to preach the word of God. Mm-hmm. Case closed. We're not going to try to be in the middle, straddling the fence on this one. The last one, a dangerous place to be, the back of the church. Okay? And you can be back of the church depending on wherever you sit. It doesn't matter. A lot of times they're the last in and the first out. It's like they're off in the sunset like the Lone Ranger. You didn't even get a chance to thank them. You know, they're gone. They want to consider themselves part of the group, but they're rarely involved in anything. When I was coaching, they were the kids that wanted to just wear the jersey. There were no commitment to them. They just, I'll show up, had some things come up I couldn't make practice. Well, you don't get to wear the jersey then Friday night. Simple as that. Want to be part of the group, but they're not part of it. They have a great seat. They've got a wonderful seat in the back of the church to watch and criticize everything everybody else does or don't do. Well, what's that old saying? Magpie sat in a tree nearby and gazed on the scene with a critical eye. They're just sitting looking for things. But they were awarded All-American Armchair Quarterback. You know, All-American. They know the answers after everything. But yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Didn't have any input, but they knew all the answers. This is not a good place to be. Not a good attitude as a Christian. In Revelation 2, verse 4, again, Jesus, through John, says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You may be here in, not you, but you can be someplace in body only. Maybe there, but you're not there. I see people like that daily at work every day. Oh, physically they show up, they're passing time. They're just getting through the day. Do we do that with God? That we have to ask ourselves, have we left our first love? Oh, you never miss a service. But are you here? That's a question that we always have to ask. Are we truly here? Is our heart here? And Jesus says, I know your works. And for some, you've left the first love. John 6, verse 66 says, and this is a sad verse for me. This is one of the, there's some empowering verses. There are some verses that just melt your heart. This one is sad to me. It's like that one, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. That's a sad verse to me. But this one, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Got too tough. Too much commitment. Wasn't what they signed up for. And they left him. They saw the Savior. Had walked with him. If we think about it, I'm sure we've all worshiped with somebody that we might have been strong at the time that have fallen away from the church. That's one of the saddest things to me. For somebody to have known salvation and to turn their back on it and drift back into the world. What'd Paul say? Take heed lest you fall. Amen. You know, I don't ever want to be one of those people. Oh, he used to be a strong Christian. What happened to him? I don't want that. I don't want to go back to the world. You know, when we put that old man to death, we don't want to drag him into the new life with us. And some of them, they went back and walked with Jesus no more after seeing the Savior, after seeing the light. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul, he got it. He's one of those that it clicked with it. He understood. He says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Whether he's in chains, whether he's free, he's going to preach. He's not going to be one of those back of the church people. In and out. He's fully committed. Fully committed. Luke 17, we'll end up with this verse. Jesus is saying, it kind of puts things into perspective. When we think, going back to the don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Just when we think, when we start patting ourselves on the back, all that I've done, when you're making that list of all that I've done for God, Jesus says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. We've only done what we've had to do. Where we're required to. There's no other choice but to do that. We don't want to be in the front, middle, or back because none of them are a good choice. Lesson's yours. Something to ponder as we go into this new week. We never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation. There may be some of you out there that have sin in your life that you need to repent from. This is a good time to do it. Best time I can think of is right now. If there's those of you that have not put your Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity to do that today. If you need prayers of the congregation, your brothers and sisters will be glad to pray with and for you. If you're visiting, and if you've looked at some of the congregations of the Lord's Church here in town, and you've tried us and would like to maybe find a place that you can put some roots down and work and worship with, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward while Don leads us in the invitation, we'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing together.